Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we learn the last chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This is Simon Reish Chav Aleph 221 about the yard site. This has been a very long journey of learning together, and now we are concluding this section of halacha with the end of the laws of Avelos with the yard site. So we're going to look at two concepts today, and that is the practices on the yard site and the calculating the yard site. So first of all, let's talk about the practice on the yard site. What is the mitzvah of fasting on one's parents' yard site, and what is its purpose? So there was an ancient minhag which many, many people observed. It's talked about in the Gemara and the Mishnah, and that is for people to fast on the day of the yard site of a parent. The reason for this is because by doing introspection and repentance, and examining one's deeds, it is a merit to one's parents and elevates them in Gan Eden, especially on this important day. The Levush, one of the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch, points out that it's also a time of din, of scrutiny on the family, so it's important for the remaining family to be spiritually sensitive on such a day. What should one do? One add into the davening on the day of a yahrzeit fast? So at Mincha, one would add in the Aneinu, as one would say, a private fast day at Mincha. If one fasts on the yard side once, what status does it take on in the future? So if one does a mitzvah in this way, it's assumed that one is going to continue doing this from here on. It becomes like a vow, even doing it once, and it becomes therefore binding upon a person. What happens if a person later on in their life becomes ill and it's harder for them to fast on the yard sides of their parents? So if they did, in this case, they need to seek hatara, annulment, like a vow, because it's considered binding. But if if a person took it on bli neder, then when it becomes difficult, one does not need hatara. Is fasting done today? So it's not as common a practice that is done today on a yard site. What are other practices which are done on a yard site? So there's a minhag to light a 24-hour candle, and one would say li'ilui nishmas instead of one's parents' name before lighting the candle, and let it burn out. The other minhag is to get stuck on the day of the yard site. It's important to do learning for the neshama, so if one cannot do oneself, one should hire somebody else to, but it's important one does it oneself. There's also the minhag to visit the kever, the actual grave on the day as well, and to say mizmorim tehillim. Some suggested mizmorim are number 16, 17, 33, 72, 91, and 104, and of course the name of the person spelled out in the aleph base in Mizmor Kuf Yotes 119 as well, followed by a Kel Male, even if there's no minion. If there's a siyum that's to be made, it's a beautiful thing. On the day of the yard site, some like to put out food so other people can say brachos, and if it's a man, should try to get an aliyah the day of the yard site or the Shabbos beforehand. On which days must one not fast on do a yard side fast? If there's days where Tachanun is not recited, so let's say it's a Yom Tov, or a special day when fasting is forbidden, if there's a bris, or for the father, Sunday Gomoyah, or if it's Pidgin Aben for the father and the coin, or during the show brachos, in those cases one is not allowed to fast even on the yard site. May one attend a Surah's Mitzvah on the yard site? So if one is fasting, one may not attend a Surah's Mitzvah on such a day. Instead, and if one is not able to fast, one should do Torah Mitzvah Ma'asim Tovim on such a day as well. What restrictions apply to a meal? To meals on the night before the yard site? So this is not for a person who's fasting. For any person who's observing a yard site, they need restrictions on the meals. The answer is yes. On the day of the yard site, the night of the yard site, going into the yard site, not the day but the night, then in such a case, a person should not attend the meal of a wedding. So one should not be attending a wedding because of the music and merriment. That's just the night of the yard site. Most people are not aware of this halacha. The second and last concept we're dealing with today is calculating a yard site. What day is the yard site? So it's the day of death, not burial. What about the first year? This is true for the first year as well, unless there was a gap of two or more days between the death and burial. In such a case, the yard site follows the day of burial the first year, and in subsequent years, it is observed on the day of death. The reason for this is because the avelos starts, the mourning starts after the burial. And if the yard site is going to be observed on the day of death, then the person will observe the yard site, and there's still a couple more days of avelos, which the person might waive and forget to observe. The yard site goes on the day of burial the first year in that case. But that's only if there's a gap of two or more days. How is the yard site handled when death occurs in Adar, during other leap year, during, that's if it's a, during a leap year. So if the death occurs in Adar of a leap year, and the observance is in a leap year, so it'll follow the same month. And if it's and if the observance is in a regular year, not a leap year, then let's say it was the 13th of Adar Rishon, it'll go to the 13th of Adar in a regular year. And what's more complicated is the other way around. Let's say that a death occurred in Adar of a regular year, and then the observance is in a leap year. So in that case, the halacha is that we follow the Ashkenazic tradition is to observe the Yahrzeit in the first Adar. However, it is a beautiful thing to say Kaddish on the same date in the second Adar. So let's say the death was in was on the 13th of Adar in a regular year, and then it's a leap year. So they would observe on the 13th of Adar Rishon the Yahrzeit with Kaddish and everything like that. But on the second Adar, on the 13th of Adar, they should say Kaddish. And if there's no one else, they can take the Amud, lead the davening, but they should not push away the rights of others on such a day. How is the Yahrzeit observed if the death occurs on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, where given the variable length of Cheshvan and Kislev? So it's complicated. There are two Rosh Chodeshes which are variable today, even in today's fixed calendar, and they are Cheshvan and Kislev. What does that mean? Is that usually we have an alternation between one day Rosh Chodesh and 2 day Rosh Chodesh. And the alternation is just how long the month is, because the moon cycles around the earth. The orbit is 29 and a half days roughly, and so you can't make a month out of half days, so it has to be made of days. So matching the day cycles with the month cycle, what we do is we have sometimes 30-day months and sometimes 29-day months. When it's a 29-day month, then it's 1 day of Rosh Chodesh, because that's the first day of the next month. When it's a 2 day Rosh Chodesh, then the first day of Rosh Chodesh is the last day, the 30th day of the previous month and the first day of the next month. So this usually alternates pretty standardly, so we can know how the Rosh Chodeshes map out in advance. However, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Kislev and the Rosh Chodesh of Cheshvan and Kislev, sometimes it is 30 days and sometimes it is 29 days, thereby sometimes a 1 day Rosh Chodesh, sometimes a 2 day Rosh Chodesh. So how does this work out? So if, let's say, the death occurs on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, when it was only 1 day, so that it was really the first of Kislev, then in years when Rosh Chodesh Kislev is 2 days, then the Yahrzeit will go to the second day Rosh Chodesh, which is still the first of Kislev. What's more complicated is the other way around. If the death occurs, let's say, on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, when it was a 2 day Rosh Chodesh, so it really turns out to be the 30th of Cheshvan, and then the next year, well, then the coming years, there is no 2 day Rosh Chodesh, and so therefore there is no 30th of Cheshvan. So when do they observe the Yahrzeit? So the Kitzur suggests the proper procedure as follows: if the first year after death, Rosh Chodesh Kislev was only 1 day, meaning there's no 30th of Cheshvan, then the Yahrzeit should be on the 29th of Cheshvan, which is the last day of Cheshvan. And whenever Cheshvan is lacking, it'll go after the 29th of Cheshvan. If it's possible to say Kaddish the next day on Rosh Chodesh, the first of Kislev, great, but one doesn't push aside others. But if the first year after the death has 2 days Rosh Chodesh Kislev, then the Yahrzeit is fixed forever on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And for the years when there is only 1 day of Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so there's no 30th of Cheshvan, it will be observed on the first of Kislev. So it just depends what the first year looks like. Similar rules apply to Rosh Chodesh Teves. What complication arrives about Rosh Chodesh Teves? So the complication is that it follows, it's on Chanukah. So sometimes it's 2 days and sometimes it's 1 day. That's the way it works. You'll notice in the calendar. So one has to just be careful to follow these rules and not follow the days of Chanukah, because depending on how many days of Rosh Chodesh there are, the Rosh Chodesh will be on different days of Chanukah as it expands and contracts. What should one do if one does not know the day of one's parents' Yahrzeit? So in that case, one should select a day which they believe is the ostensible Yahrzeit and observe that day. But one should not encroach upon the other rites of others, saying Kaddish and leading the davening, because one does not know definitely that that is the day itself. With this, we conclude. This is the end of the Hilchos Avodos, and also the end of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He ends with the pasuk Bila Amavis LaNetzach U'Mocha Hashem Elokim Dimal Kol Ponim. Hashem should swallow death eternally. Hashem should remove the tears upon it from the cheeks. And he says, Baruch Anoy Sen Leyav Koach V'Otzma Yarbe Le'en Oynim. Blessed is the one who gives strength to those who are are tired, and power to he gives to those who do not have strength. Beis Yaakov luchu v'nelcha bar Hashem, the children of Israel, the house of Jacob, will go forth in the light of Hashem. And he goes on to ask that that of Hashem that he should be able to be the Rav Shlomo Gansri, the author of the Kitzurah, says, and requests of Hashem that he should have the opportunity of being matzdike arabim, to allow the merit of for the public to give to people opportunity of clear halacha. And Be'ezras Hashem tam v'nishlam shevach l'kel borei olam. This is a crowded, incredible journey of learning halacha, being a professional Jew, being aware of all the responsibilities that one has. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.